You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh, change the world. Change the world. You can do it. You can do it.
The time is now.
Time is now.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it.
This is Filippo Voltaggio, and this is a great show. It always is a great show when I get to talk about music. Actually, music. Why music? Music is very important to me personally, but music is very important to all of us for many reasons that we might not get a chance to get into today, but it certainly underscores our life, and I can't think of anything that changes us or sometimes brings us back to those changes more than music, almost like the music does in films. It's the music of our lives. Well, here to talk about life and music and changes is our guest. He is an Italian composer based in Los Angeles, but from Rome, Italy, a recent winner of the HARC, HRC Foundation Award in Music Composition. He started his music career at the age of 9 when he began studying piano. His journey as a student culminated with a master's degree in composition. He also studied organ, violin, drums, and percussion at the, oh God, I'm going to love this. Let's see. Conservatorio Pontificio Tommaso Ludovico da Vittoria, Conservatorio Santa Cecilia, and the Conservatorio e Casella in Rome, Italy. Our guest, Stefano Tomaselli. His exquisite repertoire ranges from the classical to the modern. His expertise and understanding of traditional composition blends with his extensive knowledge of the very latest in recording technology to create an artist of tremendous range, depth, and facility. He has enjoyed teaching solfeggio, harmony, piano, and composition in music schools, as well as giving lectures and symposiums in film music and operatic music. Since he moved to the U.S., he has been collaborating with world-renowned tenor Placido Domingo on many CD releases through Sony Classical, and actually he's appeared on the Jay Leno Show, conducting a 30-piece orchestra, accompanying the operatic pop group Il Divo, and has scored many films for which he has won awards. As you could see, this is bound to be a great conversation about music and so much more. When we come back with our guest, Stefano Tomaselli, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and as a singer, I have sung about changes all my life without really knowing I was doing it, until putting it together in time for the show, thanks to our guest, Stefano Tomaselli. because Stefano is obviously Italian, and I grew up American in America of Italian parents who immigrated to America from the old country, Italy. They brought with them their music, their culture, their food, their religion, so much. But the music especially, it touched my heart, and I paid very close attention, words and music, to songs and operatic pieces and things of that nature. And especially being a singer, I used to sing them all the time. I make a point in my shows to share with people how much the music, especially of the time, that which my parents shared with me, and in Italy, how the music really underscored their life and how they knew it and how they used music to talk about the things that were important to them at the time, like we do today. But it just seems that at the time there were more songs about the sun and the moon and the ocean and family and mothers and things of that nature. So I grew up with that, and my father used to sit me down and explain to me about what the songs meant, and more so than what they meant, what they meant to the people that were singing it and living it at the time. As a matter of fact, still today in the shows that I do, I talk about that when I sing a particular song, actually a Neapolitan song. So there was one song that always had me baffled as a child because I didn't understand, having come to know how powerful and how strongly people felt the music and how they felt about the sun and the moon and the ocean and family. There was a song called A Canzone Napoli, the Song of Naples, written by the lyrics by Bovio and music by De Curtis. And the words baffled me because it starts out with "Me ne voglio l'America," I want to go to America. And it talks about "I can't wait to go," etc. And then halfway through the first verse, it says, "I want to forget the sun, the sky. I want to forget the ocean. I want to forget Naples. I want to forget my mother, and I want to forget you." And I remember asking my father, why would he want to forget? And when I was really little, my father would say, you wouldn't understand. And hopefully you never will. Well, unfortunately, I did come to understand. And I came to understand the rest of the song. And I came to understand the sentiment. And unfortunately, it's a sentiment that way too many people understand. The song ends up ending like this. Ma quant'è bella Napoli, stanotte bella sai. Non l'ha già vista mai, più bella come moi. Come ma scordo cielo, tutte canzone, o mare. Come ma scordo Napoli, come ma scorda mamma. Come ma scorda te. How beautiful is Naples? Tonight, it's more beautiful than ever. I've never seen it beautiful like this before. How am I going to forget this sky, these songs, this ocean? How am I going to forget Naples? How am I going to forget my mother? How am I going to forget you? And it's a song about a man who's emigrating from the land, the culture, the people that he loves. This is a story that happens every day. And some people do it because they want to. Some people do it because it's forced upon them. And to most of the immigrants from this particular culture at the time, it was forced upon them due to famine and severe poverty. And so This song came to mind and has been with me all day. As a matter of fact, when I first started singing professionally, it was one of the very first songs I chose to share with my audiences. And it's interesting that I'm grateful to our guest for what he does, because in some of the music titles, in some of the feelings that I felt in listening to his music after I got to know him, and in a particular opera, which I hope we'll have time to talk about today, he is writing of these sentiments that unfortunately are happening to people by coercion, one way or another, throughout the world. And so it is my pleasure to welcome to our show our guest, Stefano Tomaselli.
Thank you, Filippo.
Buonasera, signore. Come stai?
Buonasera. Bene, grazie. Everything is fine. Thank you.
You almost inspired me to cry there.
Well, hopefully not.
with the remembrance of this song and listening to some of your music again today, and reading about the synopsis of the coming opera, and also your story of coming here alone from Italy in the hopes of furthering yourself, but nonetheless going through some of the experiences that immigrants do. So
yes,
welcome, and thank you for doing it.
Well, thank you for having me tonight. Basically, it is true. Back in the day, they were forced. Today might be slightly different because when you have an opportunity, you want to seize it. And that was my case, and that's why I moved to the U.S. I was working with a producer in Italy. He's Italian, but he lives in the U.S., and I did quite some work for him. And then he basically put me in touch with Bill Conti, the composer that scored Rocky. And we became friends. Bill invited me at the Oscars during the music rehearsals in 2005. And it was very overwhelming. And I knew right away that if I wanted to move on with my career, this was the right place to be. So I moved pretty much immediately. It was just a matter of getting the visa and everything else. And since I've been here, I have to say that I have been very fortunate because there are many opportunities. And unfortunately, the country that gave birth to Verdi, Mascagni, Puccini, Leoncavallo, you name it, is not as open as it was back then. And there are very few opportunities. So if you want to express yourself or have the opportunity to express yourself, this was the right choice. And because I don't have any regrets in my life, I decided to do it immediately. And as I said, it was a good choice. I've been fortunate enough to meet amazing people and great artists and collaborate with them, and it's been a blast so far. So hopefully it will continue to be so, and I'm very grateful that I've been embraced, I have to say, by many that helped me out. So it's a long journey, but I am enjoying it, and it's been a pleasure. And for what yes. concerns the song that you were talking about, we have a way of saying in Italy that says, vedi Napoli e poi muori. That means you see Naples and then you die. So that relates very much to the lyrics that Principe Antonio de Curtis, that would be Totò, wrote when he wrote that song. And it is kind of true because it's a beautiful country and has so many beautiful things to enjoy and see. If I have to be honest, what I miss the most is, of course, my family and my friends, longtime friends, even though I did make several here. But the people that I did grow up with, I miss them. So the message for them has always been, come over and stay as long as you want. So I've been visited by many, by my family. Still, it's 10,000 kilometers away. It's quite a ride if you want to go back. So it's not around the corner.
No, it's not around the corner. And especially when this song was written, it was a 30-day boat ride and a lot more money people had to do the trip. Well, I'm glad to hear that your experience has been so good and may it only get better. And I think I was thinking more so not only your experience, but also the storyline for the opera, which we'll talk about later. So about having one's town taken away from them, in a sense, their culture and their family. So it all relates. And when we come back, you have done some very exciting things, working with Il Divo, being on the Jay Leno show, and working with Plácido Domingo and some other great artists who I know and have worked as well, actually, Vittorio. So I'm curious how that feels from being in Italy and watching the, like you said, the opportunities weren't as great. And then coming here and being invited to the Oscars and seeing how things work and saying, you know, are you saying, wow, I'm here, or I did it, or yeah, that's nice, but there's so much work ahead. I think I know the answer to that. Well, when we come back right after this with Stefano Tomaselli.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeitel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
It sure is Life Changes, and this is Filippo Voltaggio having a conversation with Stefano Tomaselli. If you want, you can go to stefanotomaselli.com, and that's spelled Stefano, S-T-E, F like Frank, A-N-O-T-O-M-A-S-E-L-L-I.com. And you can learn more about what we'll be talking about here in just moments. Stefano, so you were in Italy and in America, they do all of these great things. And then you come here, and I know it's not exactly maybe what a young boy in Italy might imagine, but you're doing it. You're here. How does that feel?
Yes, I am. It is different, of course, the perception when you are so far away and you are not in the fabric. It is different. Nevertheless, there is a path, and you learn, and you actually try to absorb as much as you can, so that you will be proficient and able to function. Of course, in music, you never stop learning. So it is a great joy and privilege, and it never stops. So that's the advantage. It's not like an athlete. When they age, they have to give up. there is no giving up here. You can compose until you die, basically. So this is quite an advantage. It is fun, and I love to do it, and I wouldn't do anything but. So in Europe, it's more difficult, you know, the financial situation and everything else. So there are way more productions here, and as I said, opportunities. There is only one way. So that's why I moved here, and that's why I am here.
You have done so much, and I'm sure they are all interesting and fun in their own way, like recording with artists like Plácido Domingo, and orchestrating and arranging and conducting and working with Il Volo and being on the Jay Leno show, et cetera, et cetera. What can you talk a little bit about those experiences and tell me, of all of them, what is your most favorite thing to do? Music.
Well, yes, given the fact that music was involved, it was fun all the way. With Maestro Domingo, has been, of course, a privilege, and it has been very easy to work with him because he's very down to earth and he's a real musician, so he understands, and there is no need to talk too much about things. You just deliver what he wants. And you'll be. It was. I have an episode that I would like to talk about. We were in the studio. It was almost 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was singing, and we were pretty much dead, you know, in the booth because it was so late. And when he was done, I asked him, "Aren't you tired, Plácido?" And he said, "Well, my feet hurt." So that was it. Basically, I said, "How can you sing for 6 hours and not be tired? I mean, it's amazing. This is what music will do to you. It's so much fun that you don't get tired. It's an amazing feeling, and if you can do it as much as you can, well, you won't be affected by time. It's like when you start working on something or you're writing and it's, I don't know, 9 o'clock in the morning, then you look at the clock and it's like 6 o'clock in the afternoon and time just flew.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens very often, and it's what music does to you. The other experiences, I did orchestrate for Plácido as well, as for Vittorio Grigolo, an album that he released, I don't remember, a couple of years ago, maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Neapolitan songs, actually. And it was like going back home for a little bit, because I know very well these popular songs that made history in one way or another. So it was much fun. And of course, I can throw in there my heritage and the vein that we do have. It's all music. It's all about communicating, and there are many ways to do it. And writing or orchestrating, arranging is another way to do it, because in any musical composition, the orchestration is 50%. Of what the audience or anyone will actually perceive, regardless of their level of education in music, that has nothing to do with the ability to communicate. For what concerns instead Il Divo and the Jay Leno show, I was amazed by the organization and how pleasant that day was, and everything went smoothly and was like clockwork. And Jay Leno is a very nice person. I had the fortune to meet him, and he's a very pleasant man, and it's been a blast. And the orchestra, I have to say that we have very very good musicians in Italy and in Europe, but here the level of any working musician is astonishing. Mm. Whatever you drop in front of them, they sight read. They're right on the money, as you guys used to say. So it's that makes anybody's work easier because it goes flawless. It's flawless. So it's the first time I had the opportunity to witness such a level of professionality was during the Oscars. It was amazing. And in Italy, we might want to stand up a little bit and have some coffee instead. You know what I mean? So,
and I don't know that that's all bad.
Well, I have to say that the professionality is amazing. Not saying that we're not as professional or as good back there, but it's a different approach. I don't know if it's related to how much money I involved in any of these projects. And we're talking, you know, quite some. But regardless, the outcome is really astonishing. This is the word that I would use. And it's a privilege to work with such musicians because whatever you have written down will be performed flawlessly. So I enjoy that very much. I have to say, though, that the orchestra that recorded the Grigolo album, the title is Arrivederci, was the orchestra of the Teatro Regio di Parma in Italy, and they were amazing. The sound that they produced is undisputed, and pleasure to this orchestrate played with I don't know if there is a word to describe it, frankly, but it was really, really pleasure because it can actually uplift. Sometimes you write something, you know exactly the way it will sound, but then if you have a good orchestra, it will be magnified.
Mm.
And this is exactly what happened in that occasion. So it was very much fun to listen to the rough mix that I received right after the recordings. And, you know, they didn't mix it yet. It was just raw. Amazing. And I believe that there are many, many musicians around the world, and I wish every one of them could actually work steadily and be happy doing what they love the most.
Mm. I feel that sentiment. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded as I'm talking to you that I've worked with many conductors over the years, and I'm reminded that one day I was actually sitting in the audience of a of an orchestral performance, and I knew the maestro that was conducting, and I just sat there so proud of him, knowing what he had done with this particular orchestra, et cetera, et cetera. And the young lady I was with said to me after the performance, "What was that guy doing up front? It looks like he does nothing. It looks like they could
waving the baton without him.
He looked like he was annoying. They're trying to play and he's waving a baton. So when we come back, I want you to explain to her, if she's listening, what that guy was doing, because it's so important. We're talking to a guy like that, who is a maestro, a conductor, an arranger, composer himself, Stefano Tomaselli. Again, you can go to his website at Stefano Tomaselli, S-T-E-F-A-N-O-T-O-M-A-S-E-L-L-I. ELLI.com and learn more about him and his work. And when we come back, we'll learn what that guy in front does with a baton when we come back on Life Changes with Filippo.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo, and our guest today is Stefano Tomaselli. I love saying that. And his website, once again, for those of you who would like to know more about him after our interview, go to stefanotomaselli.com, stefanotomaselli.com. He's actually also the winner of the Hark Foundation Award for Music Composition, and actually that's how we got to know him. I got to meet him personally from Susan Marchese, so thank you, Susan, for introducing me to Stefano. If you are interested in learning more about the Hark Foundation and the artists they support, please go to harkfoundation.org. Hark is spelled H-A-R-C, like Charlie, foundation.org. So I started before the break to say that some people don't know what a conductor does. And when one thinks that sometimes it's hard to get two people to agree on something, imagine a group of artists in numbering from 50 to 100 to up to 200, if it's a huge philharmonic orchestra. So, Stefano, what does a maestro do with them?
Well, when I was a kid, I actually asked myself the same question that the lady that you were talking about before asked. Basically, why is he waving this baton and sweating and jumping up and down the others are doing all the work because they are,
right.
you know, producing the music, really. So to give an example, listen to the same recording, Annie, conducted by Herbert Forcarayan, for example, or Gustavo Dudamel, the conductor that the Electroharmonic has, and then listen to many other recordings, and you shall know the difference. A conductor can make the whole difference in the world because to translate into something that becomes alive from a podium is quite a challenge. I am not a pure conductor. I don't define myself as one. But if you can pour your energy into learning more about what these guys are doing, you will know that the difference is paramount. To keep them together, it's just one of the tasks. Just to give you an example, once Toscanini was rehearsing before a concert, he had a bassoon player coming to him and saying, "Maestro, tonight I cannot play. One of my keys on my instrument is broken." And Toscanini said, "Which note is the one that you cannot play?" And the bassoon player said, "E flat or something like that. I don't remember exactly the note." Toscanini was silent for like 10 seconds, and then he said, "No, tonight you can play, no problem. You don't have that note in your part." He knew by heart every single line that every single musician would have played for that specific piece. That gives you a depth of knowledge that you have to be able to conduct an orchestra. It's not just waving the baton and keeping the tempo and keeping them together. It's transmitting the core of what the music represents, to communicate and to translate. A simple line can be delivered properly and in a magnificent way, or can be badly interpreted, and then it ends up in the back. You won't be able to listen to it. It doesn't come out the way it should come out. And that might even ruin the whole composition. So that's why today we're very fortunate, because we can actually correct. Still, live performances are, in my opinion, the best way to communicate music. Records are fine, and it's nice to be able to play it whenever you want, but a live performance, it's what will really deliver the message. And it's something that you will do without a safety net. If you screw up, you screw up. So while I was conducting, we were recording. We did have one take, just one, and everything went smoothly, but it was a piece that was easy to conduct, and the orchestra knew the piece, the group knew the piece, of course, so it was an easy task. I wouldn't approach Rite of Spring or anything like that in a million years. But still, what the conductor does on the podium is paramount, and I have much respect, and I will never be able to deliver as these great conductors did in the past, because they put all their life into perfecting their art. And I would rather compose, to be honest.
Right.
And that's what I do, and this is what I like the most.
And
I don't like very much to perform, even though I do sometimes. Conducting might be fun, but is not what I do mainly. So a great conductor will make the whole difference in the world. And I do know several, and I do know what kind of difference they can make. Mm-hmm. So I believe this is my opinion on this matter.
I concur, and thank you for sharing that. We've never talked about that on the show. So I know you put your energy into composing, and so for the remaining time we have together, I'd love to talk about that, because you not only compose for film and you compose songs that these people that you've mentioned already have sung and have recorded, and the CDs are out there, and we can mention them as well. Also, people can go to your website and they can hear clips of your music. But I know that you're working on a Broadway musical that you're composing. You're working on an opera that's been commissioned by the Butler Opera Center in Austin, Texas, that will premiere on the season of 2014-2015, coming up soon here. So I know you're busy, but tell us what you can first about the Broadway show, and then we'll take a quick break, come back, and talk all about the opera.
The Broadway show, been contacted by a writer that has this very funny comedy, and they need a composer. So I'm actually working on a title song right now. It's an embryo still, but he has 15 numbers, and it's something very uplifting and very funny. So I believe that a composer should have boundaries and write songs as well as string quartet, as well as an opera, as well as scoring a movie. That is something that requires experience, yes, up to a certain level, and passion most of all. The rest can be learned. So this musical, as I said, is still an embryo, so there is much ground to cover, and so far has been much fun, because regardless what I'm working on, I enjoy writing music, so it doesn't matter, as I said. So we will see how it comes out. I'm a perfectionist, so I try to do my best regardless, and if you're experienced enough, you know when you're writing if you took the right direction. I believe I did, and hopefully we'll see this show on Broadway. That would be nice.
Exciting. Okay.
Yes. So yes.
We'll come back and talk about the opera, but before we do that, I just want to let people know that the song Trittico Romano is Placido Domingo sings that piece on a Sony Classical CD. He also sings Amore Infinito, which is composed by our maestro guest tonight, and several other things. The magazine World Music has published a CD with two of his pieces. So if you find any of this stuff, there's a piece called Visions that's published by Warner Chappell Music, Italiana. So he is very prolific. You'll find his music in several movies, including Amalia, that won, that he won an award for Best Musical Score for, and the list goes on. Again, you can find a lot of this information both at his website, Stefano Tomaselli, and at Hark Foundation. org. When we come back, we'll talk about the opera that inspired me to share the monologue at the beginning of the show, as well as our own guest story, when we come back with Stefano Tomaselli here on Life Changes with Filippo.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
So this is Filippo. At the beginning of the show, I referenced a song called A Canzone Napoli, The Song of Naples. And so the working title for the opera that Stefano is working on is Song of the Land. And the story reminded me of that song. And so, Stefano, tell me why you picked or who picked this plot. Tell us as much as you can about it and get us excited about it to want to be able to help you in the process.
Well, I did stumble upon a short story written by a wonderful novelist, Yulia Popova. She's Ukrainian. And basically, it was a beautiful story about this ethnic group that lives in this region that has this very profound feeling for their land, and they are very much in contact with their land. The heroine of the story is a young lady. She's 12, and she grows up learning about how to have a beautiful relationship with this land until, as it happened many times, and it still happens, the land will be taken away. The children will be sent to boarding schools to civilize them so that they can exploit the land and the natural riches that you can get out of it. So basically, she goes to boarding school. She goes through a normal life. She marries. She has but still she knows that she doesn't belong. So this was the premises to write an opera around it, and that is actually very contemporary because, as I said, unfortunately, this is still happening. And Robert De Simone, the director of the Butler Opera Center in Austin, Texas, loved this story, and he decided to commission me the work. And I am in the process, and I believe the premiere will be in 2015. I don't think it will be possible to deliver by 2014. Still, there is no expiration date. And it's a very compelling story with an uplifting ending, because, as you know, operas, they all end, you know, in a very gruesome way. And as they say, you know, a tenor is someone that instead of dying when he gets stabbed, he sings for 30 minutes. So, and that is pretty much true. So I am trying to actually deliver a more uplifting message than just death and devastation. And I believe that it can be done without hurting anybody's feelings. So... This is what I'm trying to achieve. For what concerns the music, what people remember about operas is the arias. And even though there will be arias, what I'm trying to do is to create a 2 hours plus long aria in which every bar will count and will actually deliver the message properly. And hopefully no one will fall asleep.
So, but you were saying it won't be 5 or 6 hours long or anything like that, right?
No, I don't think so. It's going to be, I believe, around 2 hours and a half tops. It depends. If you have Celibidache conducting, just to go back, even if it's not with us anymore, that would last 6 hours, given the pace of his conducting, but if someone like Toscanini would conduct, it would be half an hour. So it depends.
Yes, everything he did was fast.
it's relative. You know that Beethoven messed up his metronome and everything else, and so every conductor took the liberty to decide which tempo each piece should be conducted, and so we have these amazing recordings, 40 minutes as well as 15, and it's pretty much the same piece. Actually, this is a stretch, but this gives you an idea of what happened. That's why,
right.
You know.
And
but
it won't be.
Right? Yes, it won't be a 6 hours long opera. To be honest, that is too much. It's too long, and who can keep, the span of attention cannot be 6 hours. Even a musician would be bored to tears after a while. So it's too much.
You know, Tommaso, I mean, Stefano, I'm sorry, Stefano, I know that, well, I've been involved and still am actually in some operas that would be considered very modern, not just in the sense that they were written very recently, but also that they're using composition style that is certainly not classical, and it's been developed over, what, the past 20, 30 years or so. Your music tends to be back to being mainly melodic, and people can remember the melody. And why do you choose? I like it a lot. Why do you choose that? Is it your Italian heritage? Is it?
No, I do believe that if you complicate too much the whole structure as well as the melody, what comes out is something that it doesn't really communicate the way music should communicate. And even though there are masterpieces in modern music, the result, in my humble opinion, this is just my opinion, is that not everyone can actually fully enjoy it. And so what's the point? Music should reach as many people as possible, right? So if it's too cerebral, then it might be an amazing piece of art or an experimentation. Still, I believe that keep it simple is actually more valuable for a bigger audience. That doesn't mean that it is simple, but the perception, it's all about the perception. So In the end, if you what you perceive is simplicity, it touches your soul, then I achieved what I tried to achieve. Instead, there are other cases which is way more complicated to focus on something because it's too complicated for a lack of a better word. You have to excuse me, but English is not my mother tongue, so sometimes I'm missing a few steps here and there.
And you, of course, could always say it in Italian, and chances are I'll understand and I could help you with that, but
you're
help at all. However, in the case of the opera, you know, in the past, in the distant past, opera was commissioned by a lot of the wealthy families of the time and that kind of thing. And nowadays it's being commissioned in different ways. And I wonder if there's an opportunity, even though this is in part being commissioned by an opera company, I wonder if there's an opportunity for people to get involved with this on a financial level as well.
Yes, there is always an opportunity. And the process is, as you know, to stage an opera, it is expensive and requires resources, and there is always room for that, of course.
Is this something that we could have people contact you through your website, or should they contact HARC Foundation? How
how should they contact if they want to or know of a way to support financially?
Yeah, either way. I'm actually working with someone that is trying to bring sponsorships so that we can have a bigger orchestra, for example, or a few different things done in a different way. Back to what we were saying about operas, why do you think that they do offer all the time Puccini, Mozart, Verdi, etc.? Because they do touch people's souls. So this is what I'm trying to achieve, and hopefully it will be a success. In the end, if I can deliver what I think it is the right thing, then I'll be happy, regardless of the outcome. So, well, this is my goal, to actually achieve what I think is something that can be enjoyed by as many people as possible.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And actually, I connected with you on many levels. However, on that particular level, I certainly connected maybe the most, is that even the Broadway musical that you're working on, the format of Broadway musical, it's not typical that somebody brings out a huge message, although there are messages in Broadway musicals. But in the one that you were sharing with me that you're working on right now, there was a message. There were some subtle messages and some predominant messages that really can affect change, and in a fun way and in an entertaining way. And I admire that. And then Song of the Land, it really touched my heart when I read the synopsis. And I see from the titles of your songs and your pieces and the orchestral work as well, you are wanting to connect with as many people, as you say, and to touch people and to help effectuate some kind of positive change is what I gather. Do I gather you correctly?
Yes, that is correct. I think has been said many times, so it's not something that I came up with, but think about a world without music. I mean, you can just walk and see people shaking their hands because they're following the beat of the song that they're listening to, or relaxing through music. It's even therapeutic. So several people have been healed by music. I'm not saying that music can cure it all, but still it doesn't hurt, right?
Absolutely.
So why not? And given the fact that I've been fortunate enough to be able to write music and being able to be in the position to actually deliver the music through projects and everything else, then I believe I am a very lucky guy. And I want to spread the feeling. I wish everyone could feel what I feel when I write. It's amazing. I mean, it's an amazing feeling, and you know the feeling because you are a musician as well. So it's priceless. You can't buy that. You can buy many things, but not that.
You know, Stefano, I've never heard anybody say it in those words that I recall. And I myself often say from the stage, after finishing a song and having the applause and the accolades from the audience, say those exact words. I wish you could feel like I feel right now. So, wow. Thank you for bringing that back to me.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be in the position in which we are, and we should thank the Lord every single day in which we have the opportunity to do so. This is what I think.
Well, amen to that.
Exactly.
And with that, this has been a pleasure. It's and I know this won't be the first and only time we do this. I look forward to this and whatever beautiful things we might could do together to help spread this joy that we feel in what we do.
Exactly. And there are many, many talented musicians out there. So there are plenty of us that can actually deliver beautiful music and uplift people's souls or spirits. In one way or another, music is good or bad, regardless of the genre, regardless what you do, what you write. If it's good, it's good. This is what I think, and this is what I always say.
Well, and now you just said it again. And this is Stefano Tomaselli that we're talking to one more time. Stefano Tomaselli's website is justthat.com. StefanoTomaselli.com. And with that, Stefano, stato un piacere, and I look forward to more sharing of music together.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you very much for having me tonight with you. Thank you.
My pleasure. So with that, I would love to have left you all with a musical piece by Stefano, but we'll have to do that another time. At this moment, I say ciao to all, and reminding you as well, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change them, change them.